Oh man, okay. So, it's been a while since I've preached. And so, if you guys can cheer me on a little bit, as thank you very much. It's been a little while since I've preached, but we are starting a series. It's an old series, but it's a new series as well, where every January we preach through our core values here at the church. And so, whether you're new here to Taylor Christian, and you have no idea what we believe, or maybe you've been with us for a long time, we have four core values that we try to practice. We try to filter everything through here at the church. And so I actually made this very exciting wheel, and I need to redo it. I think I actually made this about 7 years ago, six, 7 years ago. And the wheel has our four core values. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're actually going to be going over our values here at the church. And so today we're going to be talking about faith. And the next week we're going to be talking about community. And actually, these are a little bit out of order. Then we're going to be talking about evangelism. And then the last week we're going to be talking about worship. And we're going to be having a worship night that night as well, where we're going to be sharing some testimonies and we're going to be worshiping the Lord. So faith, community, evangelism, and worship. Can you guys say that with me? Faith, community, evangelism, worship. Can you say that one more time? Faith, community, evangelism, and worship. So we have four different core values that we talk through. And so today we're going to be talking about faith. And so if you guys have your Bibles, you can turn with me real quick to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, a famous faith chapter. It says this in Hebrews chapter 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Would you guys like to have a good testimony? Man, they obtained a good testimony. And by faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. I'm going to read that one more time. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are visible. Lord, I just pray that you'll minister to us this morning and speak to us this morning. Father, I pray that you will strengthen our faith. We know that we are people that are to live by faith, and we know that faith brings action and faith brings hope. I just pray this morning that, again, that you'll speak to us this morning as we talk about faith. I just pray that you'll encourage us. I pray that your word will not return void, but that it'll minister to our hearts and to our minds, and that you will receive all the glory this morning, Father. Pray that you'll receive all the praise. And again, I feel like maybe there are some people that are struggling this morning, and maybe they're going through some struggle or through some sufferings. And God, I pray that they'll be strengthened in the faith this morning, that they'll be encouraged this morning. Your holy name, amen. So Hebrews chapter 11 is, I'm gonna do a little bit of teaching and then a little bit of preaching, I guess. But Hebrews chapter 11 it's known by many as the faith chapter. Some people even call it the Hall of Faith chapter. We're not entirely sure who wrote it. Some people think it was Paul, but I feel like Paul in most of his letters, he kind of titles it. He kind of tells everyone ahead of time. He's like, hey, I wrote this. My name's Paul, servant of Christ Jesus. And then he often says, grace and peace to you. Like, so a lot of people feel like, some people feel like Paul wrote it. Some people feel like Barnabas. Some people think that Apollos. Some people think that perhaps Silas wrote it. But the author is writing people who had a strong understanding of Scripture. In fact, if you go and you read the book of Hebrews, it's it's really pretty dense. There's lots of mentions in the Old Testament. There's a lot of connections to the Old Testament, and the writer really assumes that the readers understand what he's talking about, and so he's very, very learned in the Torah and the law. The writer was, he had a strong understanding of Scripture, and he's writing people that had a strong understanding of Scripture, an audience of Jewish Christians. And what was happening is many of these people that knew the faith, knew of Christ, knew of the Scriptures, were they knew of the scripture. What was happening is there was mounting persecution against them, and so this letter was an exhortation for them to continue in the grace of Jesus Christ. They were really kind of on the verge of quitting. They were on the verge of throwing in the towel. They had been following Christ for a while, and with all the persecution that was happening with the church, it was getting incredibly difficult. And in fact, if you turn to Hebrews chapter 10, just the chapter before, and this is what he says to the listeners. This is what the writer says to the listeners. He says, "But recall the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with suffering." Doesn't sound like a good time, does it? It's like you endured a great struggle with suffering, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. "For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven." So he's talking to people that were going through great struggle and suffering. He's talking to people that they were facing reproaches and tribulations. He was talking to people that had their goods had been plundered. And perhaps this morning when we read this passage of Scripture, you can relate. Like maybe this morning life has been tough and you've experienced great struggles and sufferings and tribulations, and maybe some of you feel like your goods have been plundered, and maybe even you started out strong and you felt like things were going well, and just life has come at you, and it's come at you again, and it's come at you again, and it's come at you again, and there's just been this constant attack from the enemy. Anyone feel like that? Like the enemy's just been coming at them again and again and again, and your faith has slowly been getting depleted, and you have found yourself maybe cold or in this lukewarm state, and one thing after another, and it's like you just can't seem to get ahead. The enemy's attacking. He's going at you, and he's attacking, and he's going at you again. I think this is the type of person that the writer of Hebrews, he was writing people that had been great struggle and great suffering and reproaches and tribulation and plundering of their goods. And so he's speaking to them. He's trying to encourage them. He's trying to build up their faith. He's like, "All right, guys, like I know you've gone through some things, but I want to encourage you." And he says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony." You know, faith is the God-given ability to trust a future that God has promised us. It's trusting in what God has said. He goes through and he names Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham. If you keep on reading Hebrews chapter 11, he mentions Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel and the prophets. And all these people were looking forward to the seed. They were looking forward to the promise. They were looking forward to the Messiah. And it's interesting because none of them experienced him. Think about it. They were all looking for the Messiah, and none of them experienced it. In fact, if you read Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39, it says this very thing. It says, "And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise." They had nothing but the promises of God to rest on, and they had no visual evidence of the Messiah. And it's interesting because when I look at this passage of Scripture, I realize that having faith in Jesus doesn't promise us an easy, carefree life filled with money and success. You know, I think there's a portion of name it, claim it, nab it, grab it, where it's like, you know, it's all health and prosperity, and you claim your future, you claim what. But it's interesting because when you look at this passage of Scripture, and if you read through all these names, I encourage you to do that later, you do it now, all these heroes of faith, I think when you look at them, if they could have picked their story, they might have written it differently. Do you agree with me? I mean, we think about Abraham. Abraham was 80 years old when God called him, and he left everything to go to a place that he didn't know where he was going. Jacob cheated his brother out of his birthright, was tricked into marrying his wife's sister, and literally wrestled with God. Joseph was sold into slavery into Egypt and spent a good portion of his life in prison. Moses was thrown into the Nile as a baby, killed an Egyptian in revenge, ran into the wilderness because he was afraid that he was going to be persecuted, and was in the wilderness until he was 80 years old. Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press because the Midianites were oppressing his people, and he was threshing wheat in fear. It's interesting because all these people were people that were facing hardships and were facing trials, and there was suffering and reproaches and tribulations and plundering of their goods. But faith is being sure of what you hope for, and it's being certain of what you do not see. You know, I think faith brings hope. Do you agree with me this morning that faith brings hope? I mean, look at all these people, and their lives were kind of crazy, but faith brings hope. It brings hope. I don't know if all of you guys know this, but a couple months ago, my mom was visiting, and it was a couple weeks before Thanksgiving. My mom was visiting, and she started having some pains in her stomach. And I was at work, and so Aaron brought my mom down to the ER. They did a scan, and they said, you need to go home quickly because we see some stuff, and it's time for you to go. And so my mom stayed with us through the weekend, and then she ended up going home. She had another scan at home, and they called us. Actually, they phone conferenced us in the next week, and they told us that my mom had stage 4 pancreatic cancer that had traveled into her liver. And so she was upset. She said she did not want to know. They said, "Do you want to know the amount of time that you said I don't want to know?" And so Aaron and I decided that we were going to go home for Thanksgiving. We went home for Thanksgiving just to be with the family. And a month ago today, I actually flew home a couple days before on Thursday. My sister had called me and told me that they weren't sure if my mom was going to make it through the weekend. So they had found that the cancer had moved from the pancreas into the liver, into the lungs, and she wasn't breathing well. She wasn't able to walk. She was, like, hallucinating. She was seeing things, like wild things. And so, I took a one-way ticket to Minnesota. And thank you, Pastor Nate. Can we give Pastor Nate a hand for taking over for me for the celebration night and preaching? And Pastor Michael as well. Let's give him a hand. But essentially, I took a one-way ticket to Minnesota, really thinking that I was going there to bury my mom. So I went there, and so you go there, and she's getting treated at the Mayo Clinic. And so I flew into the cities. My sister Abigail picked me up. She drove me straight to the hospital. She was up on the fifth floor. I go up to the fifth floor, and my mom was there with her friend. A couple of her friends had come to visit, and a couple of my sisters were there. And, yeah, she was in pretty rough shape. And evidently, she'd said, I started talking to her, and I was praying with her, and she was saying the night before, she said she felt like giving up. She said, I felt like the Lord was coming to take me, like my time was up. And she made it through the night, and she was talking to the doctors, and the doctor said, man, we've never seen a body come back like that and fight to live. And she said, you know, I think it, she said, that wasn't me. She said, that was the prayers of the saints. And so I want to encourage you, man, your prayers are effective and powerful. What they found out was that she was, my mom said, I want to fight this. And so she said, I want to do whatever I can. And so what she was doing is she was taking actually three different types of chemo once a week for 8 hours a day. And so she took one chemo and then another type. And then she was also taking a trial drug. And what they found was that the trial drug was killing her, essentially. And so they said, oh, some of the effects of the trial drug are you can't walk, you break out in a rash, you start hallucinating, you can't breathe. And so so once they took my mom off the trial drug, praise the Lord, she started taking, and I believe also from the prayers of the saints, she started taking a turn. And it was wild because I'm at my parents' house, and so first I'm going there because I think I'm going there to bury my mom. And I get there, and they change the chemo type. And suddenly my mom starts doing better. And she's like, man, she's like, it was a turn. The Lord has touched me. The Lord has, you know, he sustained me. And she starts taking a turn. And so at first when I got home, she was, you know, taking multiple naps a day, going to sleep at like 6 o'clock. And as the week progressed, she started staying up later and not taking naps and wanting to take walks with me. It was crazy, wanting to pick up her house and wanting to clean her house. But it was also crazy because when I went to my, and I told, I think I told Ken and Sue this, when I went to my mom's house, went to my parents' house, her living room is filled with letters from people that have sent her letters. And every day people would call her and they'd be talking to her, and she would start praying for them. It's like, my mom is, she has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. You know, it's like from the pancreas into the liver, into the lungs, and she's praying for people. And I feel, I told my mom this, I said, I really feel like God has magnified your influence. You know, you might have another, you know, I don't know, you might have months to live, or maybe God has sustained you, and maybe you have years to live, but God has magnified your influence. And these people that, like, typically, I think I was telling Paul this too, typically, you know, your heart might be closed, but when someone is talking to you and it's like potentially they're dying of cancer, you're opened up in a completely different way, and your heart's opened up in a completely different way. And it's amazing how in the middle of adversity, in the middle of like a death sentence, in the middle of, like, okay, you have this terrible report from the doctors, how faith gives hope, how faith brings hope, you know. And I guess I want to encourage you this morning that, you know, you might not have a bad diagnosis from the doctor, you might not have a, but faith brings hope. It brings hope. It's interesting because the you know, you think about all these people in the Old Testament that were mentioned, and all of them were looking forward to something. They said something's going to happen in the future. We know that God has promised us a seed. We know that God has promised us a remnant. We know that God has promised us a Messiah in the future. Like, we're excited about that. Now, it's interesting because we're on the other side of the cross now, aren't we? So we're not necessarily, you know, looking for the Messiah because he's already been here. But it's interesting because I feel like, man, the Bible, in a lot of ways, when we read it and we read the stories and we see how God has healed people and sustained people and how he's done these miraculous things and how he's touched people and how people have touched him, and we can read that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and we see that he died for our sins, and we see that he has healed us of our sicknesses and our infirmities. Like, it brings hope, doesn't it? Like, it's exciting when we read that. It brings hope when we see that what he did in our past. But also, I think it brings hope to our present, because we know that if he did those things in the past, God can do those things again. If God healed someone in the past, and our word for this year is healing, God can heal us now in the present. He can give, I think faith is the fuel that sustains us in the present. Amen? It's something that sustains us every single day. It's interesting because if you keep on reading in Hebrews chapter 11, it says that the righteous shall live by faith, right? Amen? Can I get an amen this morning? Like, the righteous shall live by faith. It's not just a simple event where it's like, oh, you know what? I was in a hospital room with someone and I prayed for them. Isn't that great? It isn't just like a single thing that happened. I was at a revival service once in Missouri and there was a tent meeting and that was cool. You know, it isn't something that happens once a week on Sundays. It isn't something that happens three times a year on Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. But the righteous shall live by faith. Man, it's something that we're supposed to do day in and day out. It's something that we live by when we're here in the pews, but it's something that we live by when we get out and we get in our car and we go to Culver's and we see that someone is struggling and we reach out and we live by faith. It's something when we go home and maybe our spouse is acting a little nutty or our kids are acting a little bit crazy or our dog is acting a little bit, I don't know, Elvis is nutty, whatever. But the righteous shall live by faith. God has called us to be people that live by faith. But when you look at it, it's like it's something in the past that we can look forward to. Something in the present. But also when you look at it too, it's our faith is something where it's in the future too, isn't it? Like, although Jesus came once, we know that he's coming again. And we know that one day we'll stand before the King of Kings and we'll stand before the Lord of Lords. And there'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more disease. We know that he will wipe away every tear. We know that God will be there will not need to be a son because the Lord will illuminate heaven with his glory and with his presence, his goodness and with his grace. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, the writer's talking about all the people that were mentioned before, all the saints that were mentioned before. He's talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and David and Samuel and all the prophets. He said, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Faith doesn't promise an easy life, but faith brings hope. I heard someone say that faith gives a present substance to a future reality. It gives a present substance to a future reality. It's like, I don't know if you've ever experienced something before you've experienced something before. You know, you got the gift card to Kohl's and you're so excited because you're going to go to Kohl's, and you already know what you're excited before you get there. Or we went to Pigeon Forge this last year, and man, it was exciting thinking about it. It was terrible driving there because of all the crazy roads. But it was like you experience it. You know, when we get to Pigeon Forge, we're going to go to the Old Mill restaurant. We're going to go down the Alpine coaster. We're going to go to Dollywood. We're going to go up in the mountains. We're going to take, we were so excited about what was going to happen in the future. We were almost living it before we got there. And faith gives a present substance to a future reality. Faith is being sure, it's being confident of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. Father, I just pray for those who are listening right now. Father, I just pray that you'll minister to them and speak to them. God, I pray that you will just use your word to just unearth what needs to be unearthed in their hearts, Father. I pray for those, maybe they've been struggling, maybe they've been going through some trials and hardships and the plundering of their goods and whatever it might be, Father, tribulations, God, I pray that you will infuse them with faith this morning, give them hope this morning, and remind them of the promises that you have in your word, your promises which are yes and amen, your promises that you love us and that you care for us and that you have our best interest in mind, just the promises of your salvation and the promises of your grace and your mercies being new every morning, Father. I pray that you will just fortify us so that we are people that faith isn't just an event, but faith is a lifestyle that we live, that we are people that pursue you in the church and outside of the church and in the highways and everywhere, Father, that we are people that live by faith, no matter the circumstances, no matter the doctor's report, no matter what the weather's like, Father, I just pray that we will be people that are strengthened in the faith, that pursue you in every circumstance, that pursue you in every season, that we are runners that have endurance for the race, God. Maybe some of us have grown weary, but may we not become weary in doing good, because we know at the proper time, at the God-ordained time, we will reap harvest if we do not give up. And God, as we sing this song one last time, may you be glorified and may you be magnified.